WXYZ Radio.
This is Mark Scott. In this next hour, we're going to be talking to a couple of gentlemen, one a historian and investigative reporter, Anthony Summers, about conspiracy. Anthony Summers says it is certainly possible that a renegade element of the U.S. intelligence manipulated Lee Harvey Oswald, whatever his role, on November 22, 1963. And Anthony Summers is probably one of the best when it comes to uncovering the information on the Kennedy assassination. He is also not very pleasantly concerned with the news media, and is very critical of the news media and how they reported all of the incidents pertaining to the assassination of the presidents. We'll talk with him, and we'll talk with Dr. Forrest Chapman, who was one of three men in this country who was able to examine all of the medical evidence pertaining to the Kennedy assassination. That in this next hour.
You're in touch with so much on radio, WXYZ.
This is News Talk Radio, AM 1270, WXYZ, Detroit.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Schmidt. 20 years and half a nation away from where he fell, those who remember John F. Kennedy are honoring him at Washington's Holy Trinity Church. President Reagan is among the 600 people filling the church, which is being heavily guarded for today's memorial service. And also in attendance, members of the Kennedy family, House Speaker Tip O'Neill, others from Congress and from the Kennedy administration. Presiding over the Mass in the church where JFK stopped to pray before his inauguration is Washington Archbishop James Hickey.
May we who remember him today renew our commitment to carry on that work, to strive for peace and justice in our world, and in so doing, honor his memory and show that John Kennedy's life can still touch the best in us all.
Another service in President Kennedy's memory is scheduled today near the Kennedy compound on Cape Cod. But 93-year-old Rose Kennedy is said to be too ill to attend. She is spending the day at home with the president's widow, Jacqueline. I'll have more after this.
Soup is a harvest of nourishing things.
What you got in your lunchbox?
Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
It sure smells good.
It's my favorite. My mom says it's good for me, too, because it's got stuff like vitamins and minerals in it.
How do you suppose they keep all that good stuff in there?
I think they tie it down with the noodles.
Campbell's soup is good food.
Digel tops plain and acids. We proved it in recent laboratory tests. We actually cut the yellow top off a Digel tablet to dramatize the results. Without this yellow layer, Digel consumes as much heartburn-producing acid as plain and acids like Rolaids. What's more, Digel has the yellow top and gives you the fast, gas-calming action of simethicone. Conclusion, when you want more than plain relief, Digel tops plain antacids. For occasional use only as directed. Digel in tamper-resistant packaging.
Police surrounding the West German Parliament building in Bonn have arrested about 70 demonstrators protesting the scheduled deployment of U.S. nuclear missiles in West Germany later this year. The parliament is due to vote on the deployment later on today. Members have heard Defense Minister Manfred Werner tell them the U.S. might turn its back on Europe if West Germany refuses to let the missiles in. Another sign that while economic recovery is still with us, its pace is starting to slow. The Commerce Department says the gross national product grew by 7.7% in the third quarter. That is a bit less than earlier estimates. Soviet sources have confirmed for ABC News reports, which began leaking out over the weekend, of an attempted plane hijacking in Tbilisi, capital of Soviet Georgia. ABC's Bob Zelnick says the incident ended with 7 deaths and a number of arrests.
Sources say the hijackers were members of a wedding party who boarded an Aeroflot plane bound for the Black Sea port of Batumi and ordered it to fly instead to Turkey. The plane took off but returned to Tbilisi, the pilot having tricked the hijackers. Reports say 7 died in the incident, including 2 pilots, a stewardess, and 1 hijacker who turned a gun on himself when the plan was thwarted. It could not immediately be learned whether the incident occurred Friday or Saturday or whether there was any political motive involved. Bob Zelnick, ABC News, Moscow.
There has been a cabinet shakeup in Poland, and General Wojciech Jaruzelski has come out stronger than ever. Though he has resigned as defense chief, he has been given new military powers, which will let him crack down on dissenters in Poland and push through new economic reforms. The British government has canceled leaves for its soldiers in Northern Ireland, and Britain's Northern Ireland Secretary, James Pryor, says security is being stepped up along the border with the Irish Republic. This in the wake of Sunday's terrorist attack on worshippers at a Protestant church in the border region, an attack which left several people dead. There is a storm packing heavy snow and high winds and cold weather, and it's blasting its way eastward from the Rockies. Forecasters say that storm could intensify to blizzard strength as it moves across the Plain States. The storm is blamed for causing at least 6 deaths so far. This is ABC News. A year ago, the Justice Department kicked off a program to crack down on narcotics in this country. Cases have been opened against 425 drug trafficking groups since then. So far, officials say the level of cocaine and heroin entering the United States is unchanged. 1,500 turkeys took an unauthorized ride yesterday, and a trucker is in jail in Washington because of it. Police say he picked up 1,500 turkeys at a meat warehouse in Maryland. Turkeys meant to go to supermarkets in Pittsburgh, then tried to sell them to other truckers for $6 apiece. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Bob Schmidt.
WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:05. Good morning, I'm Robert Lambert. Oakland County voters are casting ballots today, casting ballots in Michigan's first ever recall election against a state senator. Democrat Phil Mastin faces the possibility of being recalled for his yes vote on this year's 38% increase in the Michigan income tax. A 33-year-old Detroiter is being held in Chicago on air piracy charges after allegedly hijacking a Republic Airlines flight from Detroit to Chicago. Rasul Ali Shakir is a suspended Detroit bus driver. He allegedly hit several of the passengers on board that flight after claiming to have a bomb in his knapsack. Shakir was subdued by his fellow passengers. Jurors in the Vista disposal bribery case resumed their deliberations this morning. The jurors are deciding whether there was a conspiracy to award a lucrative sludge hauling contract to Vista disposal. Detroit's receiving hospital got a big check from the state yesterday. The hospital got a $1.5 million check to tide it over for 2 weeks. But the state is still at odds with the hospital officials over a cost-cutting formula for receiving hospital. 47 degrees, sunny skies in Detroit, the relative humidity 68%. Winds from the south to 3 miles an hour, the barometric pressure at 30.03 and steady. Meteorologist Bonnie Cameron at the WXYZ Weather Center saying we'll have mostly sunny skies today, a high of 60. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, a low of 45. Rain is expected tomorrow, the high of 58, then showers ending by tomorrow night with a low of 45. Once again, the current temperature, 47 degrees. For Michigan's most honored radio news team, I'm Robert Lambert, WXYZ News.
Hi, this is Bob Allison for Bob Miller and Bobson Construction Company. I know you've heard me talk about vinyl siding for your home, but what if you live in a brick or a stone home? How many times have you wished you didn't have to get up and paint that trim every couple of years? Well, you don't have to. At Bobson, they have aluminum trim for your home. It's beautiful, and it will last a lifetime. And at Bobson, you get quality workmanship along with quality materials. And they also handle their own financing, and your first year is interest-free, so you'll find the price is right. In addition to aluminum trim for your home, they can put up the new gutters and downspouts that you may need. Whenever you need work done on your home, remember Bobson Construction Company. 371-8918 is the number, and you have Bob Miller's personal guarantee of your satisfaction and of the right price. You'll have excellent work. You'll have a right price if you'll call Bobson now. 371-8918.
Your today's a little bit brighter when you're in touch. You're in touch. Your tomorrow's a little bit better when you're in touch. You're in touch. You're in touch. Touch the whole wide world. You're in touch with so much.
WXYZ News Talk Time at 11:08. Good morning. I'm Mark Scott. Virtually everyone 25 or older knows where he was the day Kennedy was killed. Truly, the way we look at ourselves, our country, and the world changed irrevocably. And part of that change is the result of the anxiety from never having satisfactorily found out all the answers to the too many questions arising from the greatest mystery of the 20th century. What were Jack Ruby's real motives behind his slaying of alleged President Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald? And did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? Was he Was he the lone killer, or were there two gunmen involved in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy? Some might even ask if there were three. In the 1979 House Select Committee on Assassination, their conclusion was, with 95% probability, that Lee Harvey Oswald was not alone on the basis of acoustic tests of a Dallas police tape recording. And it postulated the existence of an unidentified gunman who fired one shot from a grassy knoll in front of the president's motorcade. And then after conducting a study of its own, the National Research Council found that the acoustic analysis, in fact, they say, did not demonstrate that there was a grassy knoll shot. The new study conducted at the request of the Justice Department found that in the previous analysis, desirable control tests were omitted and that the sounds on the tape were recorded about 1 minute after the assassination. Nevertheless, conspiracy buffs need not despair. Council Chairman Frank Press has established one warning that because its charge was only to examine the acoustical evidence, the committee has not reached a conclusion as to whether or not a single individual was involved. Well, President Kennedy is dead. They all agree on that much. They also agree there's no way Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, but beyond that, conspiracy buffs seem to go their separate ways. Some blame the CIA, the mob, and Cuban exiles who watched their friends and relatives die in the Bay of Pigs. Others say organized crime had President Kennedy killed out of revenge for Attorney General Robert Kennedy's anti-crime crusade. And their suspicions have been fueled all these years by a trial of evidence or trail of evidence that they claim has been either destroyed, distorted, or overlooked by the government. We're going to talk about what you believe in the point of conspiracy. Conspiracy is the name of the book that was written by a man who is probably one of the best when it comes to acquiring investigative information and using that information in the Kennedy assassination. That man is Anthony Summers, and he is on our newsmaker phone line this morning. Good morning, Tony. It's good to talk with you once again.
Good morning, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you with us. Well, here we are 20 years later. We've sifted through much of this information time and time again. Each year we go through the information on the Kennedy assassination. And have we come any closer to finding out, Tony, who was behind it? Whether there was more than Lee Harvey Oswald involved?
Well, we've certainly come closer since 1963, as you and I have discussed before. I think before I say any more about what I think, I would like to make a little clearer than you have today what I am. I'm not one of the buffs. I always argue vehemently when I'm described as a buff. You didn't do that, but you didn't say what I actually am, which is a reporter. I worked for the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, for many years.
I thought I did describe you as an investigative reporter, but that's okay.
I always like to stress that because the point is that I was emphatically not a buff for many years and avoided the thing until the Congressional Assassinations Committee started work in the late 70s, and then did a documentary for the BBC, which was also shown here, and then was so outraged by the fact that other reporters in this country either misreported the case down the years and were still continuing to do so, or just didn't bother to do anything at all, that I said about the book that I have done. And I think it's when people say sometimes, well, we had the Warren Commission, and then we've had years and years of buffery. What the hell have the buffs produced? The fact is that the buffs, along with a very few reporters, produced a great deal. We know a lot more about the assassination than we did in 1963. We know that the Warren Commission did not investigate thoroughly the work of the FBI and the CIA surrounding the assassination, and more importantly, they didn't investigate what those agencies knew about Oswald and others concerned before the assassination. And in some cases, what they did know, they didn't tell the Warren Commission. Now, that right there says a great deal and should leave everybody hopping up and down with irritation and wanting to know more, because there you're talking about the two national agencies of intelligence, and if they are the agencies on which the Warren Commission depended absolutely for its information. So if the Warren Commission has been proven, and it has, to have been ill-served by those agencies, then the case, in a sense, is up for grabs, and all the evidence has to be looked at again. That's what the House Assassinations Committee did in the late 70s. And a thing I'd like to stress there, it's almost always said, and you said just now, that the committee based its conclusion of probable conspiracy a few years ago on the acoustics evidence. Now, they did indeed come up with acoustics evidence as their big headline, but they also produced 10 volumes of evidence, fairly difficult to swallow, legal, piles and piles of legal-type information. But it was that, along with the acoustics evidence, that swung them in favor of conspiracy. That remains. The acoustics evidence hasn't been blown out of the water, as you said. There's still some considerable scientific controversy about it. I don't think the scientists are ever going to totally agree. The evidence is just, the tape evidence is just not firm enough, and scientists will always differ. But the rest of it, the mass of the information, which notably links Ruby to senior members of organized crime and their organizations, and also, in my view, makes it clear that Lee Harvey Oswald, whoever was pulling the strings for him on November the 22nd, 1963, was linked to intelligence agencies, not least the in my view, naval intelligence.
Hold on. Well, I'm going to pick it up there, Tony Summers. We're talking about an expert's theory, the plot to kill the president. 20 years after John Kennedy was gunned down in Dallas, his murder still has not been solved. And the accused assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, apparently, in the minds of many, did not act alone. We'll give you an opportunity to talk with Tony Summers as well. WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:15.
Back with Pat and more laundry talk. Let's take a call.
You know, Pat, I love liquid detergent, but I don't love the high price.
Buying Purex heavy-duty liquid detergent plus fabric softener is like saving up to a dollar.
How?
Well, Purex contains 16 ounces or 2 cups more liquid than the leading liquid detergent for about the same price. It's like getting 4 extra wash loads for free. Or to put it another way, it's like saving up to a dollar.
Sounds great.
And you also get a built-in fabric softener at no extra cost. Thanks. You're on the air.
I certainly won't buy a bargain if it doesn't work.
Purex is a name brand you can trust. Their liquid laundry detergent gives you powerful cleaning. And the built-in fabric softener helps fight static clings.
Well, who wouldn't want to save up to a dollar?
Well, no one I know. Call again. By the way, unlike powders, Purex liquid detergent plus fabric softener dissolves instantly in hot, warm, or cold water.
Purex, the symbol of value. For the smart shopper.
I visited my old college roommate, and she had Cuticura soap in her bathroom. It's for skin that's part oily and part dry, so I tried it.
Cuticura medicated soap is designed especially for combination skin. Skin that's part oily and part dry. Cuticura deep cleans oily areas to remove dirt and excess oil, and its rich, creamy emollients help condition dry patches so skin feels soft, smooth, and moisturized. Use only as directed.
Cuticura makes my skin look and feel terrific.
Cuticura medicated soap for combination skin.
Come on, honey, on your feet. Remember dancing the twist?
Yeah, but Joe, it's been years.
Oh,
I'm out of shape.
You're doing great. You're doing fine.
I strained my back.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Sit down while I get the Doane's pills.
Good advice. Doane's pills contain magnesium salicylate, a painkiller found in no other leading analgesic. Brings temporary relief of simple muscular backache pain due to overexertion, strain, or stress. Use only as directed.
How's your back tonight, honey?
Feels much better, thanks to Doane's pills.
WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:18. We are talking with investigative reporter Anthony Summers, historian and reporter Anthony Summers, who wrote the book Conspiracy about the Kennedy assassination, and many still believe that it was a conspiracy. The suspicion lingers on. Tony, you're telling us that it may have been, a faction of the CIA? A rebel faction of the CIA?
I don't think it's that simple. And I'm afraid it never can be, which isn't very convenient for radio programs.
Well, could it have been a combination of plots, mafia and
I think that's, except that it obviously is complex to explain. I tell you, I'm sitting opposite on my desk here, what was really for me my last shot when I decided that I had to move on to another project following my book. And that was a kind of genealogical tree. I decided, look, I've worked on this thing for the best part of 4 years, what I must sit down and do before I leave this subject is to draw or write somehow what do I think happened. And I've drawn a thing which, to the layman, I suppose, looks very complicated, but in fact makes very satisfactorily a link between, like a genealogical tree, between the various people and entities concerned, with hard lines indicating what is certain and dotted lines indicating what is uncertain. Now, what remains uncertain, and of course, when I do what I'm about to do, you and I have to make certain assumptions. I'm going to make assumptions that there were indeed, as the buffs have always claimed, one or two people shooting from the grassy knoll. That's the point in front of the president. I'm going to make the assumption that there were more than one person shooting from the book depository behind the president. Now, if you assume an X factor as to who was actually responsible, because nobody that I know and respect claims to know, that you assume one or more planners in U.S. intelligence, somewhere in U.S. intelligence. Now, it doesn't mean the CIA or the FBI or naval intelligence, but one of those areas. If you assume that that area was an area that was involved with the anti-Castro exiles in trying to do away with Fidel Castro, and if you assume that, then you also assume that those people were in contact with the mafia, because, as you know, U.S. intelligence was using organized crime to try and bump off the Prime Minister of Cuba.
And Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy was the chief counsel of a Senate committee that investigated the mafia in the 50s, and he later turned around and wrote a book on organized crime.
Yes, but the attitude of organized crime, who of course hated Bobby Kennedy, and may indeed, who knows, it hasn't been my case, but have been responsible for his own death, they knew in 1962, going into 1963, that if they were to do away with Bobby Kennedy, they would still be left with his enraged and implacable brother. And so, if you believe organized crime had a role in the assassination, then you believe that the president was rubbed out, because that would deal with the presidency and with the Kennedy power at its source. Anyway, you have that intelligence center for the assassination, in touch with both the anti-Castro exiles and with organized crime. And then you look at the links, and the links go from that, through a couple of boxes on my little plot here, and they go time and again to Ruby, the man who rubbed out Oswald, and for the purposes of this I shall just say that it was to silence him. And they go in, those are hard lines, certain lines go straight to Ruby and link back very easily right through the people who were involved in the anti-Castro operations. Other lines in connection with intelligence go to Oswald, but they go to Oswald in connection with operations to smear the organization that Oswald claimed to represent. That's the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, which was a left-wing organization in terms of those days, trying to get support in this country for Fidel Castro. Now, was Oswald really working for the Fair Play for Cuba Committee? Was he working for them but being used unwittingly as a tool of U.S. intelligence? If he was doing that, if he hadn't been Lee Harvey Oswald, it wouldn't be that surprising. U.S. intelligence was using people in that way all the time in that period.
Okay, let's pick it up right here, Tony. Hold on just a moment. Anthony Summers, Conspiracy, and we're talking about the Kennedy assassination. WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:22.
And bring me a bottle of Premiat wine, please.
But, Monsieur, Premiat from Romania? Why not a great French wine? France has been making wine for centuries.
So has Romania. I'll take the Premiat.
But, monsieur, the climate of France is perfect for winemaking.
The same climate as Romania. Just bring the Premiat.
But what about the grapes in French wines? The Cabernet Sauvignon, the Pinot Noir.
The same grapes used in Premiat wines, and I would like some now, please.
Monsieur, are you suggesting there is no difference between our French wines and this Premiat?
Oh, no, there's a difference.
Aha!
Premiat is a lot less expensive. Ooh.
It's true. Wine critics compare Premiat to French wines that cost twice as much. Try Premiat's rich Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, and two excellent white Rieslings.
I can't believe it. This Premiat does taste like our fine French wines.
When you're through tasting my Premiat, could I have some?
Premiat wines from Monsieur Henri, a name you can trust. Imported by Monsieur Henri Wines Limited, New York, New York.
Ned's Auto Service, the oldest name in quality auto repair in the Detroit area, announces a huge money-saving offer. Right now, get Firestone tires, any size, any type, for 5% less than the best advertised sale price you can find anywhere. That's 5% better than the best-priced Firestone tires anywhere in Detroit. Ned's Auto Service knows the value of a dollar. Since 1921, Ned's has been the leader in low-cost, high-quality auto repair. Trust your car to the auto shops with experience. For all your auto repairs, make it Ned's. And remember, right now, Ned's Auto Service is offering 5% off the best advertised sale price of any size, any type Firestone tire. The five Ned's Auto Service stores throughout Detroit are at 6 Mile and Schaefer, John R. between 6 and 7 Mile, Woodward and Highland Park, Gratiot north of 7 Mile, and in downtown Mount Clemens. For Detroit's lowest price Firestone tires, shop Ned's Auto Service, the oldest name in quality auto repair. For more information, call 775-0600.
WXYZ News Talk time at 11:24. We're talking about conspiracy. Tony Summers is our guest. He is an investigative journalist and a historian, a writer. We were talking about the possibility of either it being Oswald and the CIA or the Mafia and organized crime. And G. Robert Blakey, the chief counsel of the House Select Committee on Assassination, believed that it was organized crime, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Do you differ with him somewhat?
To an extent, I think that when he was, you know, he came from Bobby Kennedy's Justice Department as a young attorney, and all his instincts are to put the blame for organized crime. When he started investigating the case, I think he assumed that the Warren Commission had got it basically right. Then he discovered the acoustics evidence, and he started to have him to find the evidence linking Ruby with organized crime tumbling in and filling volumes of his final report. And so he put in the heat and the time factor of his work on the Assassinations Committee in Congress, he put all his eggs in one basket and plump for organized crime did it. I think that since he emerged from the hurried work, it was very hurried work that the committee had to do, and was able to sit at home and write his own book, that he opened his mind much more to the various indications that suggest an intelligence involvement, and that now he would not go so far as me, so far as the intelligence involvement is concerned, but he would agree that there's a real possibility of that. And I think it's important because I fear that once again I've failed to make it simple, largely because it just isn't simple.
Tony, why is it that...
It's important to say that there is no contradiction in having organized crime, anti-Castro exiles, and an element of U.S. intelligence involved, because all those groups were working together in the attempts, literally together, physically together, in the attempts to bump off Fidel Castro. So there's no contradiction in finding them associated together trying to bump off somebody else.
I wish we could put those ties together. We don't have time. What I wanted to ask you, why is it that so many people are reluctant now to, here after 20 years, to talk about the Kennedy assassination? They just don't want to discuss it. And by so many people I'm talking here, here's G. Robert Blakey, chief counsel of the House Select Committee on Assassinations.
Yes.
He seems to be, you know, he wrote his book, and he's an expert who gave his theory, and now he seems to be totally disinterested, or at least he doesn't want to discuss it anymore. Why is that? Would you know?
His case, I think that he's a very disillusioned man. He not only passed on these 10 volumes and more of evidence from the end of his congressional committee work, passed that on to the Justice Department, but also passed on to them a mass of other material that for judicial reasons he thought best not to be published, but which would help a judicial investigation. He, and I think I more or less quote him correctly, said, "I don't want to live in this country if the Justice Department do not now act." And in his view, it was possible to bring the some of those involved in 1963 to justice. Now, this was the opinion of a sober-sided, cautious professor of law, not of some loony conspiracy buff out in the boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
And he
Tony, I wish we had time to finish more on this, but, you know, you told me you could only would only do a half an hour with me.
Right, and, I can, yes.
And I'm sorry to say the time is up.
Right.
I appreciate you talking with us very much, and as usual, it was interesting. We're going to continue our discussion and talk with Forrest Chapman, a physician in private practice here in the suburbs of Detroit, who was a deputy medical examiner in Wayne County. And he was one of maybe just a handful of people who got a chance to see the autopsy photographs and x-rays of President John Kennedy. That coming up next.
Catch the excitement of Greater Detroit, Super City USA. This is WXYZ's Jerry Whitman, and there's an easy way to find out what's happening in Detroit. Call the Metropolitan Detroit Convention and Visitors Bureau Watts Line at 298-6262. Get a daily listing of events on what's happening.
It's 11:29, Farmer Jack Savings Time. Time to save on Grade A Land O'Lakes, Tom's, or Riverdale hen turkeys. Just 58 cents a pound at Farmer Jack only.
Hello, Detroit. Talk to me, Larry King, midnight to 5 a.m. Our Peabody Award-winning all-night coast-to-coast get-together. Tonight's special guest, Dr. Ray Klein of the Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies. Our subject, American intelligence. How good or how bad is it? Join us with open phones, The Larry King Show. It begins at midnight, and it happens right here at News Talk Radio 1270 WXYZ, Detroit.
From News Talk Radio 1270 WXYZ News, good morning. I'm Robert Lambert. A confirmation from the source. Peace Corps Director Loretta Rupi this morning officially announcing what had previously been reported. She will not be a U.S. candidate, U.S. Senate candidate next year against Carl Levin. That leaves former Congressman Jim Dunn, the only declared GOP candidate in the race. Voters in northern Oakland County are voting today on whether Michigan Senator Philip Mastin can keep that title. The senator faces recall over his vote to hike the state income tax 38%. The Commerce Department saying the nation's economy grew at an annual rate of 7.7% in the third quarter. The revised stats slightly lower than original estimates. Where were you 20 years ago today? Most people who were alive on November 22, 1963 can probably tell you where they were when they got the shocking news that President Kennedy had been shot to death in Dallas, Texas. This morning, there was a memorial mass in the Washington Church where President Kennedy used to worship. At 11:30, the Dow Jones average of 30 industrials up 4.57 at 1273.77 on volume of 40 million shares. Forecasters are saying a snowstorm that has blanketed parts of the Rockies likely to get stronger as it moves eastward. WXYZ meteorologist Bonnie Cameron with us now. And Bonnie, they say a blizzard might be on the way in some parts of the Great Lakes. How about us?
I think we're going to be on the right side of this, at least through the holiday. Friday, of course, is a whole other story, but we'll hopefully have a little bit more on this tomorrow. I do think the Minnesota and northern Wisconsin area, though, is really going to get pasted with this one. So if you're heading that way for the holiday, you probably want to be aware of that. If you're staying a little closer to home, though, you'll find it, of course, a gorgeous day today, 55 to 60. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy and the warm front coming through in the morning, so maybe a few showers around then, temperature in the mid-40s. Cloudy and a little showery tomorrow, mid-50s. Still a few showers around tomorrow night, 40 to 45. And cloudy again with a few showers, low 50s on Thursday, but I think we should see it cool off a bit on Friday. And again, there might be a few snow showers around by then. Right now we have sunshine, though. Winds are south at 4, barometer 30.03. That's steady. Humidity 68%, 47 both at Metro and downtown, Bob.
Thank you very much, meteorologist Bonnie Cameron at the WXYZ Weather Center. For Michigan's number one radio news team, I'm Robert Lambert, WXYZ News.
Where can you find Tony Shoe Repair, Jack Stevens Clothes for Big and Tall Men, and Brummett General Insurance Agency? Well, at the mall that has it all, Bloomfield Town Square, with thousands of free parking spaces and shops open 7 days a week and most evenings. You'll save yourself a lot of running by going directly to the mall that has it all, Bloomfield Town Square, at Telegraph and Square Lake Roads.
You're in touch with so much on radio, WXYZ.
WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:33. E. Forrest Chapman is a physician in private practice in a suburb of Detroit. For 3 years, he was deputy medical examiner of Wayne County, the scene of innumerable and interesting murders. He's a graduate of the Armed Forces Institute course in forensic pathology. He is senior air transport examiner of the Federal Aviation Agency. He's a veteran of countless autopsies. And E. Forrest Chapman is one of fewer than a dozen, maybe, and I've heard three professionals who have been permitted to see the autopsy photographs and x-rays of the late President John Kennedy in the National Archives. Dr. Chapman has long been dubious of the single bullet theory, according to which the magic bullet went through Kennedy's back and neck, entered Connally's back, shattered 4 inches of rib, shattered the largest bone in the governor's wrist, and tore into his thigh, but was only minimally deformed. We'll say good morning to Dr. Chapman, and thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Chapman?
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
Just fine. It's good to talk with you once again.
Well, fine.
You are...
talked to you before?
Well, I talked to you about 2 years ago, and I talked to you about another subject. Had to do with the mayor of Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe that'll recall. Maybe you'll recall it. We didn't talk on the air.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Let's talk about the slow bullet theory. That's one which you have formulated because you just simply can't buy this single bullet theory. Is that correct?
Well, it's that I can't buy it, that it isn't feasible. In fact,
why isn't it feasible? Tell us why.
Oh, well, there are several things about it that...
Can you tell us without getting real technical? Or
let's say this. We're talking about a bullet that substantially went through the fleshy portion of the neck. Didn't touch a bone in Kennedy's spine, but it did touch it. But, I mean, let's say that it didn't get any deforming. But because of the angle, the bullet had to do some... jumping to the right to hit Conley way over on the axillary side of the shoulder, below the shoulder in the axilla area. It had to shatter 4 inches of rib.
Mm-hmm.
It went into the wrist and shattered the distal radius of a very large man. Conley is a big man and full of vigor, and his bones were in good shape. And then emerge and come out and hit him in the thigh, making a very superficial wound in the thigh. And to say that that bullet had came out looking like it did, like it was just about fired into a gelatin block, is a bit hard for anybody with any rational.
All right. So what are you saying? There was two bullets there, or?
No, that Conley was hit by a separate bullet.
Why didn't he hear the shot?
Well, the shot that hit him...
Or he didn't hear...
The muzzle, you see, gets there much later than the bullet does. You have to understand that. The bullet is going faster than the speed of sound. So that when the report of the muzzle, which is the one sound of a bullet...
So he had already been hit by that bullet.
Well, let's say this. By the time the sound got to him, he'd already been hit... And a pain stimulus had been going up the spinal column into the brain. Now, when there's a massive painful stimulus, such as was the nature of the wound of Connolly's wound, why, when it reaches the brain, other stimuli like sound, which ordinarily would be recorded, are canceled out. You don't remember what you saw, and you don't remember what you heard. You only remember and are aware of this tremendous painful stimulus. And it's a shocking thing. And Conley was quite aware of it, and his testimony brought it out. He felt the thump in his back. He heard no sound, but his wife heard both the sound of the bullet hitting his back and the sound of the muzzle an instant later.
Dr. Chapman, you are one of fewer than, what is it, a dozen or professionals who have been permitted to see the autopsy photographs and x-rays of late President John Kennedy in the National Archives. I want to know what, as a result of looking at that evidence, what your conclusion is, and we'll talk about that here on WXYZ. Also give you a chance to talk with Dr. Chapman. WXYZ toll-free lines are open from Southfield, Berkeley or Beverly Hills, phone 353-TALK. From Livonia and Canton, phone 425-TALK, and from Detroit and Dearborn, phone 873-TALK. WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:38.
It happens every day, usually in the morning and afternoon, while you're commuting. It's frustrating. It's traffic. Miles and miles of bumper-to-bumper traffic. Well, you don't have to rely on traffic reports anymore given by one person in one location. Those reports are out of date by the time you hear them.
Now you can depend on WXYZ News Talk Radio Metro Traffic Reports.
Some road crews in your way if you're headed downtown.
Traveling around the downtown area, he parks.
Still some wet pavement, slow traffic on the westbound 94.
Traffic on I-75 is light with speeds at 50 to 55 miles an hour.
Northbound Southfield travelers will run into some heavy volume at 7 miles.
Traffic on the eastbound Ford Freeway has fought its way back to near posted level.
Metro traffic. The WXYZ Radio Metro Traffic Center is staffed by reporters throughout the area reporting the latest developments in traffic. So the next time you drive, rely on the WXYZ Radio Metro Traffic Center. Mornings and afternoons on News Talk Radio, WXYZ, Detroit.
When I get a spot on a blouse or a skirt, I just toss it in the washer. But these brown spots on my skin, you can't wash them off. If they only weren't so noticeable.
If you have pigmentation brown spots on your skin, nothing will make them disappear overnight. But if you get Porcelana Fade Cream and keep using it, your brown spots will fade.
Since I've been using Porcelana, my brown spots are definitely less noticeable.
Porcelana Fade Cream. It will take time, but your brown spots will fade. Use only as directed.
I visited my old college roommate, and she had Cuticura soap in her bathroom. It's for skin that's part oily and part dry, so I tried it.
Cuticura medicated soap is designed especially for combination skin, skin that's part oily and part dry. Cuticura deep cleans oily areas to remove dirt and excess oil, and its rich, creamy emollients help condition dry patches so skin feels soft, smooth, and moisturized. Use only as directed.
Cuticura makes my skin look and feel terrific.
Cuticura medicated soap for combination skin.
Back with Pat and more laundry talk. Let's take a call.
You know, Pat, I love liquid detergent, but I don't love the high price.
Buying Purex heavy-duty liquid detergent plus fabric softener is like saving up to a dollar.
How?
Well, Purex contains 16 ounces or 2 cups more liquid than the leading liquid detergent for about the same price. It's like getting 4 extra wash loads for free. Or to put it another way, it's like saving up to a dollar.
Sounds great.
And you also get a built-in fabric softener at no extra cost. Thanks. You're on the air.
I certainly won't buy a bargain if it doesn't work.
Purex is a name brand you can trust. Their liquid laundry detergent gives you powerful cleaning. And the built-in fabric softener helps fight static cling.
Well, who wouldn't want to save up to a dollar?
Well, no one I know. Call again. By the way, unlike powders, Purex liquid detergent plus fabric softener dissolves instantly in hot, warm, or cold water.
Purex, the symbol of value for the smart shopper.
WXYZ News Talk time, 11:41. We're talking with E. Forrest Chapman, who's a physician in private practice in a suburb of Detroit. For 3 years, he was deputy medical examiner of Wayne County, Michigan, and graduate of the Armed Forces Institute course in forensic pathology, senior air transport examiner for the Federal Aviation Agency. And Dr. Chapman is one of the fewer than a dozen professionals who had been permitted to see the autopsy photographs and x-rays of the late President John Kennedy in the National Archives, which allowed you to draw what conclusions, Dr. Chapman? Dr. Chapman?
Hello?
Yes, what conclusions?
Okay, the conclusion is that I agree with all the other doctors that all the shots that fired and hit anybody were fired from above and behind. My second conclusion was that Oswald alone wounded the president in the neck and killed him with a second shot that blew his head apart.
Oswald fired twice?
And was that Conley was wounded by another rifle.
Well, all right. So Oswald fired twice?
Yes.
All right. And then another rifle was the one that...
On the floor.
Pardon?
He left 3 shell casings on the floor. But one of them was not fired that day.
Okay, the 3 shell casings. One of them was a diversionary tactic. That was the one that you talk about that had been fired, rechambered, and snapped empty?
Yes. I don't think he was aware that that was for diversion purposes, though. I think he was told something else. I don't think that he knew he was going to get any help that day, because if the first bullet had not been defective, the first primer had not been defective, the first bullet would have blown the head apart, there would have been no need for the other man to fire, and there would have been no need, no evidence that anyone else was sitting there in Dealey Plaza waiting for him to succeed on the first shot, okay? So that the so-called lone assassin, crazy God that the first bullet was a defective one, and instead of hitting the head at 186 feet, instead of hitting the head in the back part of the head, it struck the neck to the right of the spinal column at the very base of the neck and where the shoulder joins the neck. So you can picture that. The second man was probably told that if the head doesn't disintegrate on the first shot, you're to fire and get out of there, leave nothing. And he had to be, he virtually had to be in the Dell Tex building.
Well,
place he could have been perched.
Dr. Chapman, here we have 20 years now since the Kennedy assassination. We still haven't really come to any solid conclusions on this. Is it your impression that we have had a cover-up? And if so, how could a cover-up last this long without being exposed?
I'll tell you this, that it is my... first of all, I have almost all the literature that was ever taken in any way serious by anyone, seriously by anyone, in any movement. And 90% of it is garbage. Is disinformation. And one begins to realize that disinformation has been used as a concerted tactic in this and in many other things that occur today. So that I found from Penn Jones particularly and Harold Weisberg and these people have been absolutely deterrents to the truth. And this has been my feeling on it. There are only very few books that have been written on the Kennedy assassination. I'd like to give you a list of them. Two of them are by one author, Inquest by Edward J. Epstein, and Legend, The Secret Life of Lee Harvey Oswald by the same author. But the best book on the ballistics and the a decent investigation down there that was done was Six Sections in Dallas, and the author's name is, oh gosh, got to reach for that, but it's still available, I think, in paperback. Six Sections, Josiah Thompson. I get blanks here.
Yeah, I'll tell you a better book than that, I think, and that was a book by the gentleman that I just talked to here in the first half hour. It's called Conspiracy by Anthony Summers, and he devotes an extremely, I think, interesting amount of his book. At least one-third of his book, I would say, is devoted to, well, maybe not quite that much, but it's devoted to the science of the conspiracy, and which was the thing that you were addressing. He does a marvelous job with the scientific evidence.
When was that book written?
That book was written, let's see, I think it was back in, let me see if I can find the date on that. 1980.
Well, that's one I don't have, and there should have to be a recent one like that.
Yeah, well, it is, Dr. Chapman, it is well worth reading. Good morning from Southfield. You're on WXYZ. You're talking with Dr. Forrest Chapman.
Good morning, Scott.
Yes.
I'm Southgate, not Southfield.
I'm sorry.
It says
Southfield on my screen, but my screen can't spell.
Right.
I'm sorry about that.
My name is Jan, and I talked to Dr. Chapman last year, and I don't know if he remembers me or not, but I have a couple questions I'd like to ask him. Number one, Dr. Chapman?
Yes.
Have you had an opportunity?
Okay, there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if Dr. Chapman has had an opportunity to talk to Dr. Humes, who is in the Detroit area.
Have you talked to Dr. Humes? No, he says no.
Oh, I see, because I understand Dr. Humes.
St. John's Hospital, chief pathologist there.
Yeah, Dr. Humes doesn't want to talk, does he?
Right. I've tried to call him a few times, and other people have, and he won't talk to anybody.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And, the other question is, if he's familiar with a possible controversy on the exhumation of Oswald in 1981, Gary Mack, a researcher in Texas, has written a few articles in which he quotes the funeral director who embalmed Oswald. The funeral director and his assistant both say that the skull that was passed around at the Oswald exhumation
mm-hmm.
that it did not show any signs of a craniotomy, which was performed on Oswald in 1963.
Would you know about that, Dr. Chapman?
Yeah, I've seen a picture of Oswald's body after after autopsy, and I don't think they did. They examined the skull contents. I don't think there was, it was a forensic autopsy, and they're entirely different than the hospital type. In many of the hospital autopsies, the contents of the skull are not examined. There was no point in it with Oswald, and I don't think they opened the skull.
Jan, I got to move along. I thank you very much for the call. WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:49.
Is your car trying to tell you something? This is the sound of cooling system trouble. It could need a minor belt adjustment or hose replacement, but left unattended, it will result in expensive engine repair. The specialists at the Radiator Hospital can help you protect one of your most costly investments, your car and its cooling, heating, and air conditioning system. A regular system maintenance check every fall and spring at the Radiator Hospital can help you prolong the life of your car or truck. Before the cold weather sets in, the Radiator Hospital experts will completely winterize your car, including power flush and fill, at a price that's guaranteed to keep you smiling, even in the worst of weather. Remember to see the specialists at the Radiator Hospital for your cooling, heating, and air conditioning system service. Near you in Farmington, in Berkeley, in Detroit, or on Van Dyke and Sterling Heights, and our newest location, in Westland on Ford Road, a quarter mile east of the I-275 freeway.
Mention WXYZ, get $5 off a complete winterizing. This Thanksgiving, say, thanks, Mom, and treat her to a gourmet feast at the Holiday Inn of Southfield. Thanksgiving's a time to share family fun, not for cooking and cleaning the kitchen. So treat your favorite cook to an incredible buffet, the all-you-can-eat Thanksgiving buffet at the Holiday Inn of Southfield. For reservations, phone 353-7700. And whether you've a family of two or 200, the Holiday Inn of Southfield can accommodate your party in their lavish ballroom. From 11 a.m. until 9 p.m., the Holiday Inn of Southfield will present an outstanding array of turkey and all the trimmings, plus ham, seafood creole, tossed salads, fruit salads, relishes, beverages, a full array of homemade desserts, and, of course, pumpkin pie. All at one low, delectable price. So phone today for reservations at 353-7700 and enjoy the once-a-year delight of the Thanksgiving feast, exquisitely prepared by the three chefs at the Holiday Inn of Southfield on Telegraph Road, just south of I-696, phone 353-7700. For fresh baked goods, mouth-watering chocolates, tempting desserts, Baker's Loaf has it all. Cakes, cookies, coffee cakes, oven-fresh bread and rolls, luscious Godiva chocolate, including cream nuts, pralines, and so much more. Need a break at lunchtime? Try the Baker's Loaf croissant sandwiches, a delicious treat any day of the week. The Baker's Loaf, a fresh approach to baking on Northwestern Highway at Inkster Road in Southfield. Just phone 354-LOAF, the Baker's Loaf in Southfield.
WXYZ News Talk Time, 11:51. Mark Scott with Dr. Forrest Chapman. We're talking about the Kennedy assassination. Good morning from Ypsilanti. You're on WXYZ.
Hi. A short comment and a question. Dr. Chapman, I know from information ballistically and scientifically that the bullet that struck Kennedy in the neck did not strike Connally. Can you please tell us what is it about the American people that simple truths like this cannot get through to them? What is the phenomenon that cannot be told to the American people the truth about the Kennedy assassination and other such topics?
Well, that's Dave Franklin. It sounds familiar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think, Dave, that the American people are impervious to hard facts is because they can't. It's given to them in such profusion of disinformation that the facts are difficult to perceive. And those facts they do gather, like that movie the other night, they're exaggerated to the point of where it's so unpleasant to perceive them that it's better to worry about the golf game or something else. Now, the phenomenon of this sort was well recorded by Nesta Webster in her French Revolution, that the French people, during the time of which they were beheading all those people in the Place de Revolution, and the French people just sort of went about their own business. he said that the people hadn't lost their morals, they hadn't lost anything, they were stunned. And I think to a great extent, the American people are shocked or stunned, and this accounts for much, due to the amount of convulsion in the news and so on going on. I think this is a great deal part of it.
So what you're saying is then, people like myself who try to get some simple basic truths to the American people will in the end up being martyrs and being prosecuted, even though we're right in our facts historically.
Well, that may be so, and it may not be. I think that people who have foresight have to also be persistent. I think that the virtue of a real contributor to society is persistence. And I think that we didn't get in this shape in 24 hours, and you're not going to change it around in 10 minutes. But I think there is a gradual reawakening of the people. But the rest of us are like these now people. It's got to happen right now, like an infant who has to have his bottle and has to have his diaper changed, and he's screaming his head off until it's done. As we mature, we have to realize that everything is in its own time, and that we're, and it's true that some of us get excited because there's a race on, and we wonder if it's all going to be caught up. The fact that these nuclear freezers, just taking an instance today, freezers can have such fantastic influence to put on a documentary like was put on, and yet they don't talk a bit about freezing the other side who couldn't give a damn. Never have. And the Russians have never kept any treaty. And when Kissinger was asked about Salt One, he lied when he said they, as far as he knew, everything had been kept up. And he actually knows that nothing had been kept. That they lie, they cheat, they steal, they shoot down innocent people and airliners, and they divert those airplanes through electronic devices. The media covers these things one way or another.
Well, that's correct about Kissinger. I was rather surprised at his answer the other night as well. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. Good morning from Birmingham. You're on WXYZ.
Hello, Mark. This is Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Dr. Chapman, if I understood you correctly, you said that you believed all three of the shots came from behind. And I have two questions about that, very quick ones. Number one is, I am wondering why the back of the president's head was so much more damaged than the front. I always understood that bullets caused more damage in their exit.
It wasn't.
Than they did in their entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is...
Okay, did you hear the answer to that?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
He said it wasn't.
I'm sorry, I keep thinking we're on a telephone. I'll wait for the answer.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, we're waiting for your answer, Dr. Chapman.
Well, the fact is that the entry hole, if you've ever seen...
You've got to give us a short answer, Dr. Chapman.
All right. The actual displacement of the bullet's passage through the skull, first of all, lifted one half of the skull off, as you could see in one of the frames of the Spruder sequence. But coming out, there is a great deal larger defect coming out the front of the skull than the rear. There's no question that that bullet, and only a single bullet, went through the skull. There's no question of that.
You don't subscribe to the grassy knoll theory?
Oh, no. This was introduced by Mark Lane, who's...
Well, there's some others who picked up on it, too.
Pick up on it. This is what I'm saying.
Dr. Chapman, we must wrap it up. I thank you very much for talking with us. We're going to talk about whether or not you believe there was a conspiracy, and if so, who do you believe was behind it? And if not, why do you think the suspicions remain after 20 years? How can a cover-up last this long without being exposed? That an open line at 1220.
J.K. Sales and Toy Town have joined forces this year to bring you the largest selection of toys in Michigan. And listen to this. They've announced that they won't be undersold. They will meet or beat anyone else's price. Just bring in a copy of an ad from a current newspaper within 5 days after it appears, and they will meet the price, anyone's price. To start off the biggest Christmas sale ever, you can buy all Trimetry ornaments, wrapping paper, bows, ribbons, and so forth, at half price. Don't wait for after Christmas sales. Buy all train accessories at half price and all train and race sets at 30% off. J.K. Sales and Toy Town absolutely will not be undersold. Toy Town, located in the Bloomfield Town Square at Telegraph and Square Lake Roads.